More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, liar, liar. Has someone you care about lied to you, misled you, or broken your trust? Let's help you stand up for the truth and find healing. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, liar, liar. Nobody likes that word, right? Has someone you care about lied to you, misled you, or broken your trust? It's hard to know how to respond when people do that. We want to help you stand up for the truth and find healing. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, lies hurt no matter where they come from or how serious they may seem. Are you concerned about, say, your younger children lying to you when you're trying to correct them? Or your adult children lying about the way they're living? Has your spouse been keeping things from you or lying to you about their behavior or their choices? Did a family member or friend lead you to think that you could trust them only to break that trust with their words or their actions? Is someone in your life living in a way that isn't up to the obligations that their role in your life entails?
Well, for example, maybe they're not lying to you with words, but they've made promises and then not following through on them in some way.
Or they have some obligation to you as a family member that should come part and parcel of who they are in your life, and they are just absenting themselves from that.
Well, we want to help you claim the healing that comes from standing in the truth. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. If you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still ask your questions by sending them to us via email. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. The number two, questions@moretoliferadio.com.
You know, our world has a tendency, and when I say that, I mean the very secular world, has a tendency to think that lies are often just a way of getting from one point in life or relationship to another, that they're just a tool. But we as Christian people know where lies really come from. They come from the father of all lies, and that is Satan himself. And that is why lies break down our sense of self, our well-being, and our relationship. Because Satan uses lies to get in between what God has created people and relationship to be. Something that's honest, healthy, holy, and builds us up and helps us grow closer to each other and to God. Satan doesn't want that. And so lies are usually, the big and the little ones, often used by Satan himself to destroy those relationships. So standing up against lies in a way that leads us and the other person closer to each other and closer to God is important work to do. God's calling us to do just that, to help set things right again and work against what Satan's trying to do, to tear down the fabric of our lives, our relationships, and even our world.
877-573-7825. Again, if someone you care about has lied to you, misled you, broken your trust, not followed through on promises, we want to help you find ways to heal and move forward at 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And in case you're wondering what that is, when St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections on how we can discover God's plan for living life more abundantly and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully contemplating God's design and creation, especially his design of our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds us that we were created for communion. But lies, even little ones, undermine the trust that's necessary for building a community of love. In a sense, lies break or even shatter the bones that hold the body of Christ together. We need to take the process of healing those breaks very seriously. If we don't, we can end up in a relationship that's full of hairline fractures that the enemy can use to create more pain down the road.
Lies, and we often forget this, but lies are often rooted in fear of some sort. We're afraid to face what we've done or say what we mean directly to a person. Or we're afraid that we lack the strength or knowledge to pursue a need we have or concern we have in an honest way. Of course, lies can then also feed fear by making us afraid to trust again. The good news is that the perfect love of Christ casts out all fear, which makes healing possible, especially when both the offender and the offended are willing to commit to the healing process. But of course, that's ideal, and it doesn't always play out that way. So, however it's playing out in your life, let us help you stand in the truth and experience the healing that comes from cooperating with God's grace. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we bring you those situations where we are hurt by lies, betrayals, broken promises. We bring you those people, we bring you those situations, and we ask you to respond to those situations not out of our pain, but through your grace, so that we can stand for the truth, we can insist on real healing and accountability, but do all of that in charitable ways that lead to healing, so that even in these difficult situations, we can build your kingdom and communicate the love that casts out all fear that stand at the root of lies and betrayal. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we are talking about lies. Has someone you care about lied to you, misled you, or broken your trust in some way? You know, maybe you're concerned about your younger children lying to you when you're trying to correct them, or your adult children lying about the way they're living. Maybe your spouse has been keeping things from you or lying to you about their behavior or choices, or a family member or friend led you to think that you could trust them, only to break that trust with their words or actions. Or maybe somebody's not lied to you with their words exactly, but they made promises that they didn't follow through on, or had certain obligations that they haven't taken responsibility for, and it's broken your trust. We want to help you claim the healing that comes from standing in the truth. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Mark, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Iowa on Spirit Catholic Radio.
Hi, Mark. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
I'm just wondering, my son had a confrontation with he overheard a mentor, coach, teacher hear him say that the kid is a good at the sport, but you're a bad person. And that's not really the way I raise my six children. I'm one of 12. My kids don't get cell phones until they're 16 to text and call. This young man, I pride him on being good at that. And then, of course, the fundamentals of the sports that we teach. So he hears this man that is not a teacher of the sport. No big deal. I said, son, that's just something that people do. Unfortunately, it is your coach. It is this person. If you want to address it with him, that's fine. So he does. He brings it up. That person says, No, sir, I was talking about a different student, which is just a hilarious response to a kid. No, I was talking about a different student. Not a good answer to me, but not the point. My son, I said, buddy, I don't know what to tell you. It is what it is. We'll go from here. Well, he'd been telling me sad stories about these other classes this person coaches in, and like my mom and dad said, suck it up a little bit, son, you'll be fine. You know, learn a little lessons here and there, no big deal. Well, now this is the sport. This is what he's playing. And in golf, it's really tough to focus in the first place, much less to be tortured by anybody, especially a mentor. Whatever, fine. We're getting through that, no big deal. Something came up where this man, I gave my son a punishment. I said, Coach, it's possible Tuesday he might not play unless he decides who's the boss of my home. All of a sudden, these people realize, hey, the star player's not going to be here, possibly. Well, why not? What's going on? Questioning, questioning, pushing, pushing. And I said, and when he kept questioning and pushing my parenting, I was very disappointed because this man has already deflected ownership of what I'm trying to teach and instill in my children. So I'm mad. And I try to be as holy as possible, and my texting is not good, just like my speaking. I get a little excited. So I texted him, and I said, sir, I can't believe my son wants to play right now with what you did and said and the way you didn't own it. Whatever. That turned into deflection and coming after me and insisting on a phone call. I had just lost my mother-in-law, and the last 2 months have been tough. No big deal. We're blessed. Life lessons, great life lessons, to speak about the loss, the reason she died.
So, Mark, I'm sorry to jump in, because I'm sorry for your loss, but I need to focus on the time that we've got here.
No, I just want to know how to deal with a person that is deflecting everything. I was called into the school to defend myself because I stood up for my son, and it is still happening. We do have witnesses to this. I hope it gets addressed. But how do you teach or tell a son? What do you do about this? I mean, this is our community. I don't care. My kid, I hope, goes to heaven. And he knows what's important.
Well, I mean, look, Mark, let me jump in. I mean, you know, so your heart's in the right place. I appreciate what you're trying to do here. I think the takeaway, right, if somebody said that, if I heard a coach say that about my kid, okay, I think you did the right thing in having your son go and talk to him. Now the coach denied it or deflected. Maybe there was a misunderstanding. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he was talking. You don't know. You weren't there. Neither does your son, really. All we can do is take the people at their word. That said, I think the real issue is to sit down with your son and say, look, what do you think, if it was about you, what do you think he was reflecting on?
Mm-hmm.
Are there certain situations that you struggle to handle? Are there certain situations that you have a difficult time knowing how to deal with? And then really helping him learn to deal with those things. Again, I appreciate where you're coming from, and I want to respect the fact that you are, you know, taking authority in your family and trying to form your kids. But I can tell your discipline style tends to be one of I'm gonna punish rather than teach.
And in this case, in particular, I think God has given you a wonderful open door, Mark, where you can go to your son and say, I don't think that's what you want people thinking about you. So what do you want to do to be the kind of person that people will say, that's a really good man, that's a really good young man, he's a good person as well as a good athlete?
Now, it's possible, you know, again, if the coach really was talking about somebody else, maybe your son would say, you know, I have no idea. I don't know what situations I'm struggling to handle. I don't know what, you know, I think I'm doing a good job. You know, but it's important to step back and say, well, look, if this was true, what is it that, you know, what are those things that go on there that are hard for you to handle? When do you lose your temper? When do you struggle to be, you know, what the coach might think of as a good person? Let's talk through that. Now, and the same thing, though, with, you know, you're saying, you know, not letting him play. I'm actually for that. I'm all for if a child isn't maintaining their responsibilities, I think it's perfectly fine to say, you know, they might not be able to play at the thing. And you don't have to convince him, the coach, to agree with you. That's just your right to make that call, right? But again, even in those situations, when we take something away, we want to make sure that we're doing it in a way that teaches the skill that the kid was lacking. So I don't know what he did that prompted you to take that action. You know, when you say, you know, until he decides who's the authority in our home, that's not really what it's about, right? It's about he did whatever he did because he didn't know how to do it in a healthier or godlier way. And it's our privilege and responsibility as parents to say, what were you trying to do, son? Let me teach you how to do that differently. So you didn't ask me that question, but I'm volunteering that advice as a way of kind of adjusting your approach, because you have this chip on your shoulder, when it comes to both your kids and the coach, and that's what's gotten you in trouble here.
And a lot of us will do that. We come to the defense of our children, and rightly so. If we don't defend them, who else will? But don't miss the opportunity here for even your son to do a follow-up with the coach and say, okay, you said it wasn't me, but you are my coach. If I was to try to improve my character as a young Christian man, what do you think I could be doing to be a better person?
Because I want to take responsibility for myself.
Yeah,
right?
Because you're raising a young man who's supposed to be a good man of God. And as you said, Mark, it's a learning opportunity. So what does he need to learn from this so he can be that person that people say he's a good and godly man?
I hope you'll be receptive to these suggestions. And I really encourage you to check out my book, The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, because it really talks about how to do all the things that you're wanting to do in a way that I think will have a better effect. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about lies today on our show titled Liar, Liar. You know, has someone you care about lied to you, misled you, broken your trust? We want to help you stand for the truth and find healing. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, who is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she directs the St. Sebastian Program for Performance Excellence. She's going to be sharing some insights on how we can respond in times when we are struggling to trust again. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I don't like looking back. I prefer to look forward and keep moving forward. There's plenty to cover. I do a lot of research and try to dig out the bits and pieces of a life or of an agenda that people don't want to talk about.
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo. Tonight, 8 Eastern on EWTN Radio and Television.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you have an insurance plan that pays for everything, even things you don't believe in? There are options. You can join Solidarity HealthShare, a faith-based health-sharing community. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can save you money with prices starting as low as $384 a month for families.
Call to see how much you can save. 844-398-9399. That's 844-398-9399.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Today on More to Life, Liar, Liar, as we talk about those times when someone lies to us, misleads us, breaks promises, breaks our trust. What do we do? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she directs the St. Sebastian Program for Performance Excellence. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Wonderful being here.
So, you know, when someone has been hurtful to us, it can be tough to trust others again. How can we strengthen our muscles, so to speak, when it comes to building trust again?
Well, the key really to building the ability to trust others is to build trust within ourselves first. It's hard to trust other people if we don't trust ourselves. A, because if I don't trust myself to be able to handle myself in situations or maintain my own boundaries, I feel vulnerable to how other people might treat me. And B, if I don't know how to trust myself, I won't know what another trustworthy person looks like or the characteristics of a trustworthy person look like. So strengthening the muscle of trusting ourselves starts with making and keeping at least one simple promise to ourselves each day. Something like, I will make my bed this morning, work out for 10 minutes, text my friend, have that conversation I've been needing to have. You know, the options are extensive, and it doesn't have to be complicated. We simply have to start following through on even the little things we say we're going to do. This,
you know, that sounds like it doesn't relate, but it really does, because when we have been worn down by somebody who has betrayed our trust, we constantly have that tape playing that we're not good enough. We don't have a sense of being able to judge people, and it scares us. Really doing those simple things can really build that muscle.
Well, and you're speaking not specifically about learning to trust a particular person again. You're talking about building trust in general with ourselves and being
able to trust other people because we can trust ourselves, right?
Right, because doing these little things allows us to start doing the things that can be a bit more challenging, right? So being intentional about setting and maintaining my own boundaries with others, you know, instead of expecting another person to kind of always do that for me, or speaking up for myself when I have a need. Right, actually doing the things that I say I'm going to do for others, right? Like really kind of letting my yes be yes and my no be no. Because when we can do this in simple ways, it makes it easier to trust ourselves in more important situations. And again, this helps me to learn to trust others, just like you guys are saying, more effectively, because A, I know what trust looks like, and B, I'm not powerless to how other people treat me.
Well, I want to jump on that last point you made about you're not powerless to influence how other people treat you. Because I think that sometimes, you know, when I've communicated this message to a client about the need to learn to trust themselves first, they feel a little blamed. They feel like, you know, them blaming the victim because, look, these people really did do things that hurt me. And now you're telling me that it's my job to somehow learn to trust myself as opposed to making them be better. How would you respond to that?
I would say that it's not at all about kind of, you know, victim blaming like you're saying, right? But it's about if I can trust myself to hold that person accountable, that calls them on to be better. That calls them on to treat me differently. It teaches them how to be in relationship with me. And that's so important, right? If I'm not holding my own boundaries or standing up for myself or speaking up for myself when I need to, right, that's not holding them accountable to be different, to grow, to treat me in a respectful way. And so it's learning to trust myself that I can hold people to that accountability that's necessary for us to be able to have healthy relationships.
And know that I can trust myself to see if a relationship isn't healthy and then set appropriate boundaries or even withdraw from it if I have to.
It really moves us out of that victim place and into a place of strength and confidence and godliness instead of always looking sort of to the permission of the person who hurt us to be able to change them instead. We are being active and powerful by doing this, right?
Exactly. I'm no longer asking that person for permission for them to treat me well. I'm saying, hey, you know, in order for us to have a healthy relationship, this is how you need to treat me. And that's important. And that's upholding our own dignity and theirs. That's building that confidence in ourselves and knowing our own worth and the other person's worth, because it's not upholding their dignity and worth for them to treat me badly and for me to let them treat me badly, right? Yeah. So it's empowering us to have those, like you said, godly relationships that we're meant to have. And know what that looks like at the end of the day.
Well, which goes back to what we were talking about in the theology of the body point for today. We are called to live in a community of love where we work for the good of everyone involved. So we're working for our own good. We're strengthening, our own emotional and mental muscles by being able to start doing these things. But we then have the strength to work for the good of the other person, to hold them accountable in a way that isn't asking for their permission to fix the situation. It's calling them on to be a more godly, truthful person. Does that make sense? Am I getting it?
It makes perfect sense, and I think it's exactly what God does with us in building relationship with Him. He doesn't say, go out and do whatever you want, and, you know, we'll have this perfect relationship with each other. He teaches us how to be in relationship with Him in a way that's healthy, in a way that is mutually self-donative, right? He's calling us on to do the exact same thing in our relationships as well, encouraging Rachel, people to know how to treat us, and we can work for their good, too.
Rachel, thank you so much for sharing those insights. Really important and often overlooked step in the rebuilding trust process. And if folks would like to learn more about Rachel Isaac's good work, you can go to CatholicCounselors.com. And be sure to check out the tab for the St. Sebastian Program in Performance Excellence, where Rachel focuses on the psychology of success, especially in sports and professions and all other areas where success is important, which is kind of every area, right? We're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. You know, maybe you were listening to what Rachel was saying and thinking, okay, well, that makes sense. You know, if I could trust myself to know what a healthy relationship looks like, if I could trust myself to be strong enough to set boundaries, if I could trust myself to be strong enough and courageous enough to hold people accountable, or trust myself enough to know when a relationship wasn't healthy and I needed to either set boundaries or even withdraw from it, then that would make sense. But I don't know how to do that, especially in this situation. Well, we're here to help. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still get your questions in. You can send those via email to questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number 2, questions@moretoliferadio.com. But however you get those questions in, call up and share. Has someone you cared about lied to you, misled you, broken your trust? Whether you're concerned about your younger children lying to you when you're trying to correct them, your adult children lying about the way they're living, your spouse keeping things from you or lying about their behavior or choices, a family member or friend who's led you to think you could trust them only to break that trust with their words or actions, or maybe just somebody who has not followed through on a promise. You know, they haven't lied to you exactly, but they're behaving in an untrustworthy manner. How do you deal gracefully, charitably with these folks? How do you pursue healing? We're here for all of that and more today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Stick around.
How did the first community of believers in Jerusalem pray? The Catholic Catechism tells us that as Christ's disciples were gathered together on the first Pentecost, the Spirit of the promise was poured out on them. They were in one place, devoting themselves to prayer. The Holy Spirit came to teach the church, to recall for her everything Jesus said, and to form her in a life of prayer. The first community devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and prayers. This sequence is characteristic of church worship founded on apostolic faith, lived in charity, and nourished by the Eucharist. The faithful hear these prayers and read them in the Scriptures and make them their own, particularly the Psalms. Thus, the Holy Spirit keeps the memory of Jesus Christ alive in His church at prayer. He leads her to the fullness of truth. He also inspires new formulations to express the unfathomable mystery of Christ at work in His church. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
It was like these aha moments kept happening for me over and over and over again. And they still happen because every time you turn around, you see something in society, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear and are looking at it through the lenses of Scripture and teachings of the faith, as we say always here, it makes sense. You connect the dots and you look at what's happening with all of this idea of the transgender ideology and this saying, I want to do whatever I want with my body because it's my body. And then you see all the problems that come from that, not even looking at it from a quote-unquote religious perspective, but the physical problems and mental problems, of course, that the media tried to suppress, but now it's starting to come out. It's like, well, that's because you're denying who you are, made in the image and likeness of God. It's not that complicated, but we make it complicated because we don't want to look at the truth.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. When feeling attacked, judged, or misunderstood, our natural tendency is to react. to lash out and defend ourselves. We assume that the other person intends to be offensive. But even when it seems like someone is being purposefully antagonistic, we don't really know their true intentions. That's why charity and good psychology remind us that instead of reacting harshly, we can choose to be humble and give the other person the benefit of the doubt. That doesn't mean letting people walk all over us. It means that the best way to challenge an antagonistic person's bad behavior is to ask questions that clarify what they're trying to accomplish so that we can help them find kinder, more loving ways to get their point across and meet their needs. Clarifying questions don't accuse or challenge the other person. They hold up a mirror that forces the antagonistic person to ask themselves, is the way I'm acting really helping me get my needs met? To learn more graceful ways to deal with conflict, visit CatholicCounselors.com or check out our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Liar, Liar, as we talk about how to heal when someone has been dishonest with us in big or small ways. The fact is, lies always hurt. And regardless of who has lied to you, betrayed you, misled you, we want to help you find healing by standing in the truth. 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next call, we want to let you know that our friends at Western Iowa need to hear from you next week. Siouxland Catholic Radio will air their spring pledge drive Tuesday through Thursday.
So if you're listening in Sioux City, Storm Lake, or anywhere, remember to support your local EWTN Catholic radio station. With that, let's go to our next caller. Lisa, who's up?
Let's talk with Christina, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Christina. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi. Yes. Well, my youngest son, I have five children, and the youngest son, when he turned 19, he announced to us a couple weeks later that he's going to marry his girlfriend. And then a couple weeks after that, he said they decided to get married in 6 months. And, of course, we were highly distressed because, we always told him you need to graduate from college first. They were both going to college. And so we tried to, talk him into delaying it. Never said a word against her. All his siblings called him. Why didn't you wait? And they decided, go ahead. And so after so once I got married, I was like, okay, I'm just going to make the best of it. I'm going to be polite. I'm going to be happy for them. I'm going to compliment them. And about 2 or 3 months later, she got pregnant with twins. So at the, 12 months after they got married, they had twins. They're still in university. And I quit my part-time job. They knew I was going to do this to help watch the baby so they could continue going to classes. And
that was very sacrificial of you. Wow.
And I was so happy, so happy. And they only live a mile from my other grandkids. So this is awesome. I knew the hammer was going to fall when she came back from class one day. My son had left after she got in class, and he had asked me, Mom, all the baby bottles are dirty. If you have a chance, can you wash them? I said, sure. So when she came back and saw I'd washed the baby bottles, her words said thank you, but the look on her face looked like I had kicked her in the stomach. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I was like, oh, I only did. I'm sure what your mother would have done. But I neglected to say, your husband asked me to do it. And so a few days later, crafted an email or text and said, we decided we should find somebody to watch the children who live closer. So I was like, wow, you're firing me.
So you made one comment and they've decided to break the relationship and take offense and pout about it and find somebody else to watch the kids. And what have you said to them about this, Christina? Did you just say, hey, guys, if that's a real issue, we can discuss it. But I get the sense that you were offended, and I'd like a chance to, you know, work that out with you, because I certainly never meant to offend you. It was an offhanded comment.
Yes, I texted, I kept texting him and asking him, can I have 15 minutes, or even called him, can I have 15 minutes of your time just to sit there and talk about it with you? And they're like, no, we're too busy, we're too stressed. And my son kept saying, maybe in a few days. And I, after 10 days, I said, you know, well, after a week, I was like, you know, Triduum starting soon, and I would really like to do this before Triduum. And then he said, nope, we decided, we're too stressed, we don't want to discuss this till after graduation in 2 months. So basically, we've been cut out of their life.
What kind of contact had you had with them before this? Like, what kind of,
other than just taking care of the kids? Like, do you do things together?
The extended family, all my kids and their spouses and stuff, would come over at least once a month for a big family get-together. You know, somebody's birthday, Father's Day.
And how about just with them?
Like, did you have regular conversations with them, or did you see, like, you know, just kind of, I want to understand the connection that there was with them specifically.
Well, I must say that my son is very high anxiety, and I did take him to speak once to a psychiatrist who said it's genetic, because he's had it since he was like 6 or 7. And she, I don't know, because even while they were dating, she would never talk to us. She would come over, she would not sit next to him, and she would clam up. And it was impossible to have a conversation with her. She would not speak. So very...
Well, very, but I mean, even with your son, like, I mean, did you regularly text with him, call him before? Like, I'm just trying to understand the nature of the relationship here, because it seems like it went from everywhere.
Well, I must say that we always had a lot of fun together, and he would say that, oh, let's go on road trips, and we would do road trips before he started dating her. And then he started dating her, and it was all of a sudden, which I have found with the vast majority of people in this generation, all of a sudden, anything that they didn't go their way in their childhood, they blame their parents. Like, oh,
you're not wrong about that.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So what I'm getting at, I mean, all right. So let me offer some thoughts here. You know, let's imagine, you know, this is a common metaphor, a relationship bank account or a relationship gas tank, right? Ideally, what's happening as we are regularly communicating with somebody, you know, we're putting in, making contributions to that bank account. We're filling that tank in some ways, so that when something like this happens, the tank doesn't go empty all of a sudden. I'm not sure why the bank account was zeroed out or the tank went empty over this one thing. I understand that they both have pretty high anxiety, and that could be a factor in that as well, because people with anxiety tend to be overreactive to offenses and not be able to trust themselves, like we were talking about with Rachel, to set boundaries in a healthy way. And so they have a tendency to set boundaries in a very reactive and total way, where they, you know, cut people like you out. So what needs to happen here is that we need to find a way to put some relationship capital back into the bank account, so to speak. And so they're not going to want to address this with you directly. What you need to be doing is laying the groundwork for saying, hey, it's safe to be around me. I'm not going to make you feel anxious. I'm not going to push you on this. Now, I'm not saying that you don't want to address this. I'm saying that you have to approach the way you address it in a prudent manner, so that it's like trying to catch a bunny rabbit, right? You know, if you chase the bunny rabbit around the yard, you're never going to catch it. If you sit there with a carrot in your hand, eventually it comes up to you. You're not saying, I'm not going to address this issue. You're saying, all right, let me show you that I'm not going to be the source of anxiety in your life. And eventually, whenever, you know, things calm down, we can address this too. But for now, you know, you're going to want to send chatty texts. You're going to want to, you know, say, I was thinking about you. Hey, I'm praying for these intentions for you. You know, just being in contact, especially with your son, right? And then with your daughter-in-law as well. You might not get any responses. That's okay. You want to keep building up that sense that mom loves us. It's safe to be around mom. She's not going to pick on us or criticize or force us to deal with this issue that we're afraid to deal with in a forthright manner. And you slowly build up rapport, so that it's safe to start talking. I don't mean it's not safe now. I mean, so that they feel safe to talk about things with you like this and talk through things like this. That's really the only way forward, because the more you pursue them at this point, and say, hey, let's work this out, which is a perfectly reasonable and healthy thing to do, the more they're going to run away from you. And so looking for those little ways that you can communicate, you know, I love you, it's perfectly safe to be around me, we don't have to deal with this if you don't want to for now, I'm really sad, but you know, to be missing out on these opportunities to be with my grandchild, but you know, I get it, and that's fine, I'll just love you how you will let me love you. And you just make those chatty texts and keep up that relationship. You know, there's research related to marriage at first, but then we found that it applies to other relationships too, that in a healthy relationship, there need to be 20 positive interactions to every one negative one. And in order for there to be real trust and that ability to deal with things in a forthright manner, because as soon as that 20-to-1 ratio starts getting knocked off, people start getting more defensive. They misread intentions, and they withdraw. And so what this is saying to me is that for whatever reason, and it doesn't really matter why, they feel that balance is off. So you're wanting to focus on increasing the number of positive, warm, loving interactions that let them know it's safe to be around mom, that mom's not going to, you know, pursue this issue and make them deal with it. But you're a source of comfort, you're a source of support, you're a stable platform for them to be able to stand on. So if you want more support with this, I really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can coach you through this more. But I think that starting here is the best place to go. Christina, I'm so sorry that you're having to contend with this, but there is a way forward. The more you're able to invest in that relationship and make that connection and focus on just making it, you know, light and pleasant and peaceful and calm, the better off you're going to be, and the more likely you'll be able to address these issues moving forward. Thanks so much for the call. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 10.
Do not lie to one another. See that you have put off your old self with its practices. Instead, put on your new self and be renewed in the knowledge after the image of your Creator.
Amen. Not sure what I could add to that, really. It's pretty powerful.
That's asking us to really live by our baptism and our baptismal promises.
That's right.
To be priest, prophet, and king in these situations. And lying isn't part of that job description at all.
Amen. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let us help you deal with those people who have hurt you by lying to you, misleading you, or breaking their promises to you. Let's talk it out and find grace-filled ways to respond. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up after the break.
This is Jim Pinto, Director of EWTN Media Missionaries. EWTN's mission is to spread the eternal word and to teach others that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You can help EWTN share the good news by becoming a media missionary. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today and join us in sharing the eternal word with the world.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're taking your calls today about dealing with people who've lied to you, misled you, broken promises, or otherwise betrayed your trust. 877-573-7825. Before we take our next call, I wanted to share with you a great resource, a book. It's called Spiritual Lightning by Deacon Richard Eason. St. Paul was struck down by divine power from a bolt of spiritual lightning. And in our own lives, we also experience moments of spiritual lightning, whether subtly, dramatically, or circumstantially. Deacon Eason, through personal anecdotes and inspiring stories, reveals how to develop strength and courage during those times of suffering and ways to obtain healing. So check it out, Spiritual Lightning, Answering Your Call from Jesus to Master His Values by Deacon Richard Eason, available at EWTNRC.com. With that, let's go to our next caller, Lisa, who's on deck.
We're going to Ann, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Ann. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you, Greg and Lisa. Honored to speak with you today to get some clarity and hopefully answer a question or two. I have a situation where I'd like to visit, and I just want your help to see if this is even something I should do. I'd like to visit again with a friend and come from a place of love to get more clarity on something that is already behind us, and I'm afraid that it'll be met with defense again. But I'm not sure how to approach it.
So what happened? You said that you have a friend that you're struggling to forgive. What was the specific situation that happened, and how can we help?
It's hard for me to explain because there's so many moving parts. Can we just say that I have forgiven what happened to me, and I'd like to get help with how to handle what happened to me, and how to handle it is to approach my friend in a way that she won't back off and find it offensive, because I tend to sometimes.
Well, you can't control that. So what I can say is this. You can't control somebody's reaction. All you can do is approach them as charitably as possible, and I can offer you some suggestions for doing that. But if a person is healthy. So for example, right, if I go to Lisa and I say, hey, honey, you really hurt me when you did this, or you really upset me when you said that. Now, she might get upset.
Yeah.
Because nobody likes to have things pointed out, right?
I might fuss for a little while, but if I go back and I think about it, and I want my relationship with Greg to be a good one and a strong friendship between us, I'm going to be able to go back and say, hey, that was not what I intended to do. Can we talk about this so that we can set this to rights and then we have that conversation?
The point being that in a healthy relationship, even if somebody gets a little gets their feathers ruffled, they get over it eventually, and then are willing to work through it. Not just let it go, but work through it.
And not just because you make them, but because they value their relationship with you and also how they're being viewed as a person.
If you follow the suggestions I'm about to give you for approaching her charitably, and she reacts badly to it, that what that says is that she's not a friend that you can trust to handle those kinds of things. She might be a friend that you could go to a movie with. She might be a friend you could play cards with. She's just not a friend you can share your heart with.
And I really want to just take one second here before we talk about the steps in this to explain that people have different roles in our lives. And if somebody is perpetually making promises, and I have no idea, as you said, Anne, the depth of this, but let me give you an example, because this actually happened in our lives years ago. We had this friend who we enjoyed time with so, so much, but she would make dates with us, appointments, different promises, and then just not show up for any of it, usually without even a call to say, hey, I can't make it. And we began to realize that the depth of relationship we wanted with her was just not something she was capable of doing. It was just not in her toolkit. So we said, well, how can we do this and still have the relationship? So we would make these dates with her. We would fully enjoy the time if she showed up. But we'd always have a secondary plan if she didn't show up. So, you know, if we were all supposed to go to dinner together or do something fun together and she didn't show, would we still do that? Did we have a backup plan to do something else?
Did we invite other people to come along so that if she didn't show up, we still had other people?
We still had a group to do it
with. So, in other words, we recognized what she was capable of doing and we structured our relationship with her accordingly.
We didn't trust her with, you know, big, serious, you know, emotional things. We just realized this was somebody we could enjoy according to what her toolkit was.
I'll give you another example. You know, so I have a friend who's, you know, he's a really good guy, and he's fun to hang out with, and he's fun to, you know, go bowling with or, you know, go out for a drink with or whatever. But he's not capable of offering emotional support. I mean, he's just not a guy I can turn to and say, hey, I'm struggling with this, or I really need your prayers with that. He doesn't know how to handle it, right? So if I need that, I have to go to somebody else. Doesn't mean he's not a good guy and that I can't hang out with him and do fun things with him on a certain level, but I can't expect him to give me more than he's got to give.
And so the reason we bring this up, Anne, and that I wanted to give you these examples from our own lives, is you may just be dealing with somebody who doesn't have the skills to really follow through on promises or the depth of relationship that she, by her personality, makes you think you can, but she's proven that she can't. So it may be having a deeper, longer conversation with her if she's capable, but just not catching it. But it may be you just adjusting your expectations so you don't lose the whole friendship. You just don't expect as much.
So the answer to your question, though, is how do I approach her charitably? Well, you go to her and say, you know, you don't never approach somebody with the thing, hey, you know, you were intentionally mean to me, and I can't believe you did that, right? It's always, look, when you did, I'm sure you didn't mean this, but when you did thus and such or said this and that, it really hurt my feelings, you know, because X, Y, and Z. And I'd really like to work through this with you so that if anything like this ever happens again, that we can handle it differently, right? So let's break that apart. One, you start with giving the benefit of the doubt. I'm sure you didn't mean this. Two, you tell her how it made you feel and briefly explain why, but then you immediately focus on, you know, I don't really want to rehash that. What I want to do is focus on when situations like this occur in the future, can we talk about how to handle it differently so we can both come out feeling better about it, right? So at no point are you saying, you know, you're a terrible person, you're not fighting about what actually happened. Like, if she says, well, that didn't really happen, then what really happened was this and that and the other thing. You don't have to worry about that, right? You just say, well, be that as it may. In the future, when things like this come up, how could we handle it differently so that we don't step on each other's toes, right? So you're not re-arguing the past. You're using the past to think about future situations and trying to address them. If she's any kind of healthy person, she'll have that conversation with you. You know, and because there's really nothing to get defensive about, right? You're not blaming her. You're not attacking her. You just said, hey, when you did this, it kind of hurt, and I'd like to talk about how to make sure that doesn't happen again. What can we do? If she does respond badly to that, then all the stuff we already said about needing to adjust your expectations from this relationship apply. And you'll need to focus on other friends to get that level of support or that level of commitment from, and know that you just can't trust her in these areas. You know, again, she might be one of those friends that you could play cards with or go out to dinner with and just have a very pleasant, superficial time with, but not a person that you could trust to follow through on promises or protect your heart.
I want to be clear here. We're not saying you misjudged her. People like this are often very present when they are present, but they just don't have the follow through. So we can believe that they're as invested emotionally and in the relationship as we are. And she may think she is in that moment, but just not have the follow through.
Well, like the friend Lisa was talking about, you know, she was a lovely lady, but she was always afraid of letting anybody down. Right. So she would always say yes to everybody. And then she would do the thing that was sort of the most in front of her, right?
Yeah.
So she'd promise us to do a thing, and then somebody else asked something 2 hours later, and she'd say yes to that too. And then she felt bad about saying yes to us and didn't know what to do, so she just went with the thing that would provide the least conflict.
And wouldn't even occur to her to tell anybody that she changed plans.
Yeah. And that's just who she was, right? I mean, so you know, that's not a person that we should, you know, rely on to help us move or to rely on to, you
or
know,
to confide
our hearts to.
Yeah.
You know, that's a person who, okay, you know, she plays a certain role in our life, but I'm not going to go there for these other things. And that's kind of what we have to recognize. So hopefully, by approaching this friend in the charitable way that we suggested, you know, by number one, you know, giving the benefit of the doubt. Number two, expressing your feelings about the event and why. Number three, not refighting the past and what happened then, but focusing on if something like this were to happen again, could we talk about how to manage it differently and better so we don't get our feelings hurt or our toes stepped on? That is the best way to address it. Hopefully she'll respond well. And if she does, great. If she doesn't, then you know what you need to do. And thanks so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. And folks, if you are hurting because of someone who has lied to you, hurt you, betrayed you, not followed through on promises, and you're not sure what to do, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about setting boundaries, about trusting yourself, about learning how to trust again, or needing to make those changes in the relationship if you need to. You can learn all that and more and find grace-filled solutions to rebuilding trust after hurt by working with one of our faithful professional Catholic counselors to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Again, you can learn more about our services and resources at CatholicCounselors.com. Get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you, because with God's grace, there really is so much more to life. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.